Read with us in the book of Job. In the very first chapter. I'm going to read, just skipping some through this book of Job, but I want to get some thoughts across. You know, I heard a preacher preach a message once that said all of this come upon Job because Job was self-righteous. And, you know, I do not get where in the scripture or in the book of Job that he would get that interpretation, because God did not look upon Job as being that. And I'd like you to listen close to this scripture we're going to read to you today. In the first chapter of Job, start with the 8th verse. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now, you know, God was saying that, a perfect and an upright man. And each one of us, we can look at our lives, and I wonder how many of us would consider ourselves perfect and upright. You know, I doubt if very many of us would even want to say that the least bit about our own selves, because not many of us are anything like that. And in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter and the 61st verse, reading this just to show you what it meant, says, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day." Now, here God, when He was saying that Job was perfect and upright, God realized that Job was doing all that Job could to be obedient unto the things of God. Then if you'll go right on down in this same chapter into the 20th verse, said, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, here Job just had lost all that he had in just a very short time, a matter of, I guess you'd say, 20 minutes or something like that, men coming in and telling him of all the things that he lost. And instead of him saying, "God, why? Lord, what did you allow this to happen to me for? Haven't I done such and such? Don't I deserve these things? Lord, why would you take them away?" But here it says, Job, instead of that, he worshiped God and he gave God the credit. God gave it and God's taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then if you'll go right on down into the 2nd chapter, here again, when the Lord is speaking, and the Satan, he said, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him with alcohol?" God added another thing there to it. He still retains his integrity. Job had not failed in the sight of God. Job would not charge to God and say, "God, what you're doing to me is unfair. What you're allowed to happen, I don't deserve." But he was still being just exactly what God wanted him to be. And then in the 10th verse of that 2nd chapter, let's just read the whole verse. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of those foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, you and I've heard people over the least thing get so angry at God because God allowed such and such. I've even seen people get angry with God to where they would quit church because their son or their daughter died. And they'd say, why did God take them from me? And they would blame God instead of seeing God said all things work to the good of those that love me. And you and I, we might not understand why. Job did not understand, but he said it belonged to God. He gave it to me, and he has the right to take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You and I today, in all that comes and good, we need to lift our voice and praise God and realize that all that we have belonged to God before He gave it to us. And it still belongs to Him, though we might claim it as our possession. We might have a deed or a title to it that's registered at the courthouse, but it's still God. And you and I, our ownership is but for a short time. And we're going to be gone from here. And it'll be tough for God to give it to somebody else. But you and I today, it will keep our mind in the heart where it should be with God. Through it all, we can still be looked upon from God's point of view. And the person that has integrity, and the person that's obedient under the very words of the Lord. We might not understand why, but surrender to God's will, and we can find joy in our life. Then in the last, the 25th verse of this third chapter, for the things which I greatly fear is come upon me. For the thing which I greatly fear have come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. This is Job here speaking. Then all the way over into the very last chapter, the 42nd chapter of this book of Job. Here God is speaking to those men that come, supposed to be Job's comforters. And God here in the 7th verse, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto, I can't even pronounce that name. My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Now here God is speaking. And he's making it very plain to these men that though you sit here and you have said all manner of things about Job, and you've charged him with this, and you've charged him with that, and you said it was his failure, his sin, because that this had come upon him, you need to go and you surrender before him and give sacrifice and recognize that if you do this, my servant Job will pray for you. God was still looking down upon Job after all that he had been through and still seeing it. And a man that loved God and a man that was obedient unto God, Job said, if I could find God, I'd plead my case with him. If this is what God's got to do, and to talk to God that he might learn if there was some cause for this. But when he couldn't find God to talk to him, he was content to suffer what was coming his way without accusing God. He realized maybe there was something in him that caused it, but he didn't know what. But he sure wasn't saying that it was God's fault. And when he come down here to the end, God said, "My servant Job." And God gave him back double of everything that he had. But children, he gave him the exact number that he had before 10. You and I today got everything that we own, everything that we ever shall be, is in the hands of God. Why should we not, when trouble comes, still lift our head and worship God as this man did? He seen through it all that it all belonged to God, and God had the right to take it, and God had the right to give it, and he said that if it was the Lord's will, he'd prosper again. But if not, he wasn't going to charge God. He said to him, "Why, you speak in one of foolish women? Why, because he told God, I am the curse God is done. Do you still retain your integrity before God?" But that was what I said. Job did not want to give up. He did not want to lose favor with God. Because he couldn't get that money. He knew where he stood. And he knew where God had always been. And he knew where time stood. And he lived long enough. He eventually gave to the Lord. And he wasn't going to fail in that he knew was right. Today, you and I, God's not taking a journey if we go a day or two without being able to get a prayer through. I believe if you study this out, it will let you know this all took place in about the space of a year's time. Anyhow, several months. And Job suffered greatly, even in his own body. But through all of this, Job did not say, "God, why have you failed me?" You and I today, how many times have you heard people say that very thing? "God, why did you allow this to happen? Lord, how come that you failed? What did I do that was wrong that you brought this upon me? Lord, haven't I done what you had? Why are you making me to suffer so?" Today, people, we need to look back at your word. Examine ourselves to say, "Lord, is it me? If we're not prosper, is it me that's causing the problem?" And if we don't come up with an answer that shows that it is, then if we know that what was in our heart was right before God, don't be willing to let it slip just because you don't always feel the Lord's Spirit around you when you're on your knees praying. That's no reason to quit getting down there and praying. If today you don't meet with the Lord in your prayer room, then get up and go and still keep praying. Tomorrow come back to that prayer room again and pray and pray. Hold on, my friend. Be faithful in your word until you get the prayer through. You'll find Daniel. The angel told him God heard you. The very first day, on verse 21 day, the devil, in other words, he whispered me. You and I today, God will do whatever it takes to get our prayers answered if we'll be faithful and not surrender victory when we have it in our hands. You know, Job was one that was not willing to give in to the devil. And boy, don't you know the devil was mad at him. Well, you and I, if we are not willing to give in to the devil, he's going to be mad at us too. And if he's mad at us, don't expect that everything's going to go well, because the devil's power is next unto God's. So he's going to do all that he can to cause you trouble and trial. And his job, that's his full intent, is to tempt and to try every person. And you and I today, you look at the faith God had in Job, that he allowed the devil to do this unto him. He even allowed the devil to touch his body, that he was covered in boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. From one end to the other, covered in boils. I've had a boil a time or two in my life. Just one on my body. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have one covered your whole body. What mental torture that would be. No place to sit down that you could be comfortable. No way to, no position that you could get comfortable in without putting pressure upon her. What kind of mental anguish a person would be in. But through all of that, those who looked on the Job, they were having a harder time with it. They seemed like Job was lying. Job knew the one that he had believed and trusted in. He did not understand why, but he knew that that faith that he had in God, even if the word devoured that body in him, he knew there was something beyond for it. With God, you and I today, that's what we need to keep our mind upon. What we have in this life is only temporary. If it's all gone tomorrow, when we stand before God, we have riches beyond compare. If our heart is right with Him, but if we fail God, because we've lost that little bit that we were given here in this world, then we've lost it all. Why? Because if we fail to be what God would have us to be when we lay this life down and die, true destruction and punishment will come at that time, such as man cannot imagine. You know, I've seen people that had a house burned, and they would just literally fall to pieces. Just didn't know what they was going to do. They had lost all that they had laid up, all they had got together, their family pictures, all this. They would just mourn and mourn because it can't be replaced. It can't be replaced. Then you'll see other people and they'll say, oh, we all got out alive. That is just something we can rebuild our house. We all got out alive. You know, they're looking at the most important thing, that life that we got here. When it's gone, you and I, we can't change our destiny. We can work on our life to be a better human being, to be more righteous in the sight of God, to be what God would have us to be, as long as we are alive. It makes no difference what our possessions are here. We can still work and help ourselves to be molded into what God would have it to be, if we'll listen unto what God is saying unto us. But if we get the possession of this life so important that we take our eyes off of God, then what good is it? No possession will destroy it. But you and I, if we keep our mind and our heart upon God, all that this world has to offer will be counted as nothing, because of what we have with the Lord is far more important. You know, most people probably wouldn't have looked at that as probably Job's friends looked upon him. They seen the great wealth that he had lost and all of that, and did not realize his biggest wealth was with God. It wasn't in the camels. It wasn't in nothing that he owned here. It wasn't even in his children, but it was in what he had in his heart with God. You and I today, though you may love your children, but that is not for your welfare. It's in what you have with God. Your children can't get you into heaven. Your wife can't get you into heaven. It's what you have in your own heart with God. That's what's going to make the difference in the hereafter. And you and I today, if we'll put all these things into perspective, I've seen people that lived in a house where the porch was about to fall off of it, where windows were not tight in it, the wind would blow through, the planes would even rattle, the doors would shake when the wind blew against it, the house was cold in the winter and hot in the summer. But that man and woman that lived in that house, their heart was right with God. They enjoyed each and every day of their life. Serving God. They can pray a prayer that just seemed to bring heaven down right around you. They can sing a hymn that will bless your heart and your soul. Why? Because their life consisted of what they had with God. They were interested in the house they lived in here, but they was interested in what they laid up with the Lord. And you and I today, that's the things that matters. There are people here, if their neighbor has a better car than they do, they are miserable until they go out and get themselves in debt and try and get them something better. The neighbor add on to their house, they're miserable until they can add on to theirs, whether they need it or not. And you know, that's not joy and that's not happiness. You know, I can remember a song years ago about, seldom do you find a rich man that's content. He's worried about somebody taking his wealth. You and I today, God said for us to learn to be content. In whatever state we're found in, learn to be content. Job was suffering, but Job was not complaining. God, you failed me. You and I today, we need to learn to be content with the things of God and know that everything else will be added unto us as we need it. Why? Because God promised it. God did not promise us great wealth here in this life, but He promised us, if our hearts desired it, great wealth in Him. In the spiritual plan, He promised you and I, He'd give us the sincere desires of our heart. That means the things that we desire. Oh God, if I go out and I desire a brand new Cadillac, there's no place in the Bible that God promised that to me. Why? I don't need a Cadillac, a Chevrolet, a Ford, but any kind of a little car will get me anywhere I needed to go. God did not promise me the very best of the things of this world, but He said, I'll supply your need. And each and every one of us has far more than our needs supplied unto us. But God today wants you and I to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. And He said, you shall be filled. Put the things of God first and find out just how true that God is at honoring His Word. Job found it out, and Job was one of those in the Bible that we can read about, and you and I, no matter what we're facing in this life, can see that we haven't faced nothing as he did. So, until we go beyond what Job faced, can we say we're justified in letting the Lord down? If we go beyond what Job faced, even then, can we say we're justified? Job didn't look upon him as being justified in charging God falsely or foolishly. Why? Because Job realized it all belonged to God anyway. You and I today. You know, if God sees fit to take our children. I know most people say a parent's supposed to, or the children are supposed to bury their parents, not their parents bury their children. But if God sees fit to take your children, if you've worked at living for the Lord and you raised them and taught them about God, look forward to a time to go to be with them again. But if you get your eyes off of the Lord and you say, God, why? I didn't deserve this, and you let God down. If those children are right with God, you better sit by to them because you won't see them anymore. Why? You and I today, when this life is over, if we don't leave this life with our heart right with God, we will never see God as our Savior, as our King, as our Lord in heaven. You and I today, God has put it within reach of man. Job here, through it all, he kept his integrity with God. He was still looked upon as being a friend, a servant of God. One that was obedient unto God. One that did not fail God. You and I today, when God looks down at us in our little trials that we go through, our little discouragement here in this life, can He see one that's faithful unto Him? Can He see one that is obedient, that has a question, God, that has a charge, God, falsely? Can He see one that still through it all says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we humble enough to bow ourselves to the ground and still worship God when things go wrong? Are we one of those bow with our friends to the Lord when everything is going great? We're in church talking to people and tell them how wonderful things are. But when things start to go bad, we feel like I'm always just sat at home and feel sorry for myself. Cause God is allowed this. You and I today, we better get our eyes upon the Lord and make sure that we're standing upon our watch and doing that that God wants us to, because our life is so short and time is passing by so fast. First thing you know, our life will be gone. And if we have not done that God wanted us to, when we stand before Him, we're going to be undone. You know, these men, they done what God asked, but boy, they had to swallow some pride after being so judgmental there of Job to go and do what God asked. But Job was a man that after all of this, he'd get down and pray for them. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies and those that spitefully use us. I know it's hard. I've been there. I've done it. And I've done it before when I knew I had to. Not because it was in my heart. I knew I had to. And it didn't get me very far for a little bit. But if I continue, after a while, you could get to you as praying that prayer from a sincere heart. Really meaning that for that one that was trying to destroy you. Really meaning, God, deal with them. Lord, show mercy and compassion. Lord, help them to see that they need you. God, I pray, Lord, bring conviction down upon them that they might realize they too will stand before you and give an account. You and I today, it's not easy always to be what God wants us to be, but it's still the best way that you can ever live. The most joyous way to live, the most peaceable way. You might not say, or you might say in this life, I don't have great will, and because of it, it moves me. What's going to happen out there in the future? But you and I will get our mind and our heart upon God. Put our future in His hand. We can lay down and sleep just like a little child at night. We have no fear. We don't raise tomorrow. Everything
They're in there, Lord. They're in the hands of God.
And He can take better care of them than we could anyway. So we can have the peace that does pass all understanding if our heart is truly right with God. While we get some song to sing, I beg you, if there's something in your life that you're questioning God about, why not just turn it all over to the Lord and just tell God, Lord, I'm yours and my problems are yours, and I'm going to trust you to take care of it. And believe God and know that God's able. Your life, you cannot lengthen it 1 minute by anything that you think or do. We can't. God's got appointed time for us to die. But He said, you and I, by obedience unto God, He can lengthen our life. You and I today, each one of us, God has put within reach of us heaven, if we'll only be obedient unto Him. Not that we deserve it, but because He loved us so much. While we sing, will you come? Remember what Job did after hearing all of the bad news. He worshiped God. When the doctor comes with you with bad news, just say, bless the Lord. He gives and He takes away. My life was His. If the doctor says I've got 6 months, I'll live those 6 months the very best that I can for God. So at the end of it, I'll have no regret. It's God's for you and I to live for Him. It's His life. Any way that we have, He's the one that can take it, and He's the one that can give. Will you come today? What's in your heart toward God today?